In this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and Sam Robertson, we are doing a mini-series with the Word of the Lord, Revelation. How do you steward it? How do you become it? How do you think around prophecy? And this time we're looking at warfaring with our prophetic words. Join us in this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm greeting and welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. And as ever, I'm joined by...
Sam Robertson.
Glorious. We're on a bit of a mini series.
Yes.
So this episode and the next couple of episodes, we are going to work with you in hearing the voice of God and understanding the prophetic realm, which is our specialist area. We hope.
Yeah, we've been doing it for long
enough. Although we have a lot to learn too,
yes.
But we're going to share what wisdom we do have and add it to your wisdom, my friends, and stretch ourselves together as we journey in the world of revelation and the deep waters of what God has available to us. But let's start by saying, how are you?
Yes, well, excited for this episode. But I mean, we, for those of you who watch our lives, January and February are just mania when it comes to traveling the prophet. It is like everywhere all around the world wants a prophet in January and February.
The start of the year, right, type
is
concept.
Is the word for 2024? We're trying to figure out, I mean, we're in Glasgow right now, but... How many nations have you touched? How many airports have we ran through? And how many different cuisines have we tried since the start of the year?
I mean, it's not glamorous.
We had
a delayed flight out of Glasgow. We were in Schiphol in Amsterdam and we were like running and it's such long distances.
Oh.
And you arrive on the plane and you're an absolute sweaty mess.
Yeah.
And then you're stripping layers of your coats off and
so
trying
hot.
To find, you know, it is all of that. But, and then luggage not arriving and...
On a flight to Europe, which is wild.
I know. And then, you have to then run and buy all your stuff.
Everything.
So, but it's happened so many times, so much lost luggage. I actually, this morning, can I tell you how many cans of hairspray? I counted 6 cans of hairspray in my cupboard. And most of them are because something got
lost
in luggage and then they went and bought another one. Even I, with my mohawk, I'm struggling with 6 cans of hairspray.
That is a lot.
So you don't need to buy me any hairspray. No. I'm like, not that you've ever bought me hairspray.
I wouldn't know which one to buy you.
That would be weird.
I'm sure you're
the strongest hold, Sam.
It has to be
extreme hold. If you're going to go for spiky, you need extreme
hold.
Yeah, none of this lightweight, you know, granny
nonsense.
Hairspray. Granny hairspray? What is granny hairspray? Where did that thought come from?
I don't know. I'm not responsible for it. Only you.
Sorry, mate. My granny did use hairspray, but yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. I used to get wee bugs stuck in it. Flies.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I don't know. Sticky old-fashioned hairspray. That's
what
more
I
mean.
Anyway,
so we're and cans of deodorant will smell amazing.
Literally.
I have bought more cans of deodorant with lost luggage than I can tell
you. There is nothing worse than coming home and realizing because of lost luggage, I have hundreds of everything and nowhere to put it.
But you said you bought loads of electric toothbrushes.
Well, or like toothbrush. Yeah, I have loads. I have loads of toothbrushes. I have a box in our bathroom in the cupboard filled with toothbrushes that I've purchased when traveling. And then when you get upgraded or you're in premium economy, they give you toothbrushes.
I do have a lot of those.
And then so there's loads of toothbrushes. I have ones for every eventuality, but I actually had to stop. I used to pack it in my main suitcase, my toothbrush. I've got a very special electric toothbrush.
Sorry.
I'm a bit sad.
Sorry.
I researched it.
With this, we need to know.
I just researched that it has 3 different speed modes and it times how long you should be brushing your teeth for. You know, it doesn't stop
this
for 2 minutes.
This is a whole conversation we didn't know existed.
Yeah. So I now pack that in my hand luggage because I will not depart from it. Even for a day. I feel like I've lost something if I lose it. I've lost it once and it was traumatizing.
And you had to go back to a manual.
Well, it was a battery-operated, slightly vibrating toothbrush, but it wasn't good compared to what I normally have. Sorry, I'm very pedantic about it.
You are very pedantic about it.
I'm very pedantic about my teeth.
Right.
Yes.
Jessica just had 2 knocked out.
Yeah, I was going to say, that when that message came through, I got anxious.
So
because I know how I feel about my teeth.
Well, the whole thing was all quite dramatic. Oh, now we're sharing a personal story. We will tell you the word of the Lord and prophesy. Jessica, she's the captain of her hockey team, and she was out practice. She had not got her gum shield in, and the hockey ball was walloped towards her in practice, and her two front teeth came out, but they bent back round up into her. Oh. Oh, I know you're having the heebie-jeebies right now, aren't you?
Yeah, because it's teeth.
So she immediately pulled her phone out and got on to FaceTime to me. David and I actually were in the bedroom. We were about to get ready for bed. I don't know why it was so late. Anyway, and the blood was spurting projectile out of her gums. She's like, she's gone hypermanic with it. Like, she's all over the place. Her friends were magnificent, and they had ice packs. They had tissues out. And then one of them within an instant had got their father on the phone, who's an eminent dentist in London. And he talked her through. She literally flicked her teeth round and pushed them back up into her jaw whilst we were watching on FaceTime. It was wild.
I am not squeamish, but anything about teeth gives me the heebie-jeebies.
We hope she's not going to lose them. Actually, they put a splint in the next day.
They look like they're getting better now.
Yeah, she's not like, she only has liquid diet for days.
Before they heal and reset.
So that the teeth stay in them. I thought once your teeth came out, that was it. But she might keep them. Anyway, sorry if we have made you slightly nauseous.
How will we weave this into? You're going to prophesy with new teeth.
Prophets with teeth.
Prophets of substance.
Yes.
Prophesying, warring with teeth. You're getting your bite back.
You're getting your bite back. Very good, Sam. There we go. Very good. Okay, right. Now, here we go. Here's my premise for today. Paul is talking to Timothy, and you see the development in the conversations that at one point he calls Timothy my child, then he calls him my son, and then at one point he calls him, you are in ministry as full as I am. Mm. You're watching the development of Timothy into this equal partner and then beyond where Paul has been. And I would say that's, you're a my story too, that you're, you know, as you've journeyed with us through your teenage years to, you know, late 20s, fully formed, fully in ministry, married, and all of that. So there is this kind
journey,
there's this journey to be like, you're in ministry as full as I am.
Yeah.
And into the middle of all of this sits 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. And we know it well, because at this point, Timothy is leading the church in Ephesus. It's a very large church. The numbers differ in terms of church membership, but it's in the tens of thousands. Like, it would be a modern day mega church, but obviously not, you know, in a
extreme scale,
first century context. Yeah. And he speaks to Timothy, who's in ministry as full as he is. And he says, you've got to war over your prophetic words. Mm-hmm. That you've got to do something with the revelation that's been given to you. Make a good warfare, it depends on the translation, so that you can see come to pass the promises of God in your life.
Yeah.
That there should be words that you have that push you beyond what you know. In other words, prophecy is not there to tell me what I already know, but prophecy is there to reveal the greatness of God's heart, a new level of potential for me that is so great that I must wage warfare to get there. And the prophet knows what God wants to see happen in your life. And we wrongly think, oh, well, the prophet has seen it. God will do it sovereignly.
God will do it anyway, yeah.
No,
never.
That is not what Paul is saying to Timothy. The prophet has seen it and decrees it, yes, but now you must do warfare with it. And you and I sit like we're on holiday and we're sitting on sunline just waiting for God just suddenly to work this world word out. And we're sipping our Coca-Cola, you know, or whatever it is, and we're lying back, yeah, and we're more filled with Coca-Cola or Iron Brew than we are with warfare and the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. There's an analogy.
There's a thought. So we don't fight over our prophetic words. And then we get narky with and sarky with God, like you said, and this didn't come to pass. And you can be as elevated in ministry at the level that Paul was at and at the same now as Timothy's at, as equal partners in ministry, and still miss the fullness, even in your seniority, because you didn't know how to warfare over a word.
And we hit this time and time again. And the conclusion often then with those who don't know how to warfare a word is the word was wrong, the prophet was false, the person didn't hear God. Actually, that is not how it goes. God speaks and then gives meaningful responsibility to mankind to steward that which he has set in motion. Yeah. And can I say prophecy and a prophetic word is a beginning. It is not an end. It is the beginning of something being seeded in you and set in motion. How you cultivate and culture and steward that prophetic word is up to you. You get to determine the outcome. You get to determine the end. And it is much about not self-effort and not worldly applications of a prophetic word, but it is very much a battle in the spirit realm where you hear the words of God and you decree the words of God. Yeah. God, you have said, therefore let it be so in Jesus' name, sort of prayers. We're really in the battle. And really what Paul is saying here is, Timothy, under no circumstances will I allow you to stop short of what God has said over your future.
And what I love in all of this is Timothy is now highly successful.
Absolutely.
By the time this is written, he is highly successful. And I do think that we watch a plateauing in success. You know, I've arrived, so I protect my space, and there's a lot of that. Or to be honest, I arrive and I'm so exhausted by getting here that I've lost, you know, I've lost all energies. But the sense of not now, even at the point of great success, I need a prophetic word because I need to have something of substance to enable me to go to war again for the next stage, because the kingdom of God is limitless. And so as I move on in fighting over my prophetic word, somebody else can take the space I sit in.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've seen the fullness of that. Can I ask, what are one or two prophetic words that you and Bella, if it's not too personal, I should have pre-briefed you, but we'll do it live on air. prophetic words that you and Bella are sitting on as a husband and wife team that you think, okay, you're just married, you're only married to her for many weeks, so you're not in warfare mode, you're in, you know, loving, settling, I was going to say bedding in, it's the wrong way to put it, mode, into your new flat.
Yes. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks. Sorry, I'm not going to distract myself. But so you're in a different kind of mode of settling. But there'll come a moment, actually very soon, where you're going to remind each other of the word of God over your life, and you're going to go to war to become that.
Absolutely. I mean, there's lots swirling around, even particularly for Bella. And what I want to do of supporting her into the fullness of her call as someone called to liberate women. That is her call to liberate women, and in particularly those who have been oppressed and abused and neglected. She has experienced liberating women from red light districts all over the world, but that to come to her fullness and very much our call as a prophetic jewel to liberate. And we know that even in this kind of settling or securing season just after marriage, that we are having to remind each other of the long-term journey as well that we are on.
Yeah.
It doesn't all happen overnight, but there's some stuff that we're talking to each other about where we're pushing each other into war over, of remember this is the call, remember this is where we're going, and starting to push into that.
Yeah. Yeah, and David and I are sitting on prophetic words around broadcasting and crossover broadcasting, yeah. And into the more secular chat shows that happen around the world. That sense of stewarding spirituality, Christian spirituality, in more than just the in-house of the church.
Absolutely.
And that absolutely fascinates me. But I have got to go to war over that. That means I've got to come with a face like flint that can look at the devil and say, that is my territory. Yeah. God has said, you don't block me from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let me talk about, I think there's a twofold war when it comes to prophecies. I think there is the one that we love, the external. Satan, where you're resisting this word. Satan, demons, where you are trying to stop this word from being caused and from happening.
Yeah.
You know, I come against you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I think there is a waging of war
where
you go to town on the things in you that don't cooperate with the word of the Lord over your life. And I think how much is our life not in cooperation with God's prophetic words over our future?
Yes.
And part of the war is the external resistance, but the inner resistance where I speak to myself and say, Sam, you've got a call to be a Jeremiah, to, you know, uproot, to tear down, to build, to overthrow Bella. Together, you have a call into liberation and the liberation of people from captivity. That is your call, you know, in nations around the world. Whatever in us isn't cooperating with that, we now deal with and we now war against.
It's that sense of we are the ecclesia, ecclesia, we are the spiritual government, and we think God will win our battles for us.
Yeah.
But in partnership with the divine, as partakers of the divine nature, I have a responsibility to overcome. Now, for me, I think that's quite practical.
Yes.
I've got to overcome diary.
Yep.
Calendar management. I've got to overcome
Absolutely.
That. I've got to overcome and retrain in some things of communication.
Yep.
I've got to wage warfare quite practically as much as I wage warfare in the spirit. You know, if I want that thing to become the fullness in my life, God has said it. Can I tell you what? Graham Norton or Oprah Winfrey, whatever is your indigenous, I don't know, chat show host in whatever nation you're listening in. I don't know whether they still do chat shows. I don't watch a lot of chat shows. Anyway, they're not going to suddenly ring up and go, oh, by the way, would you like to come and give spiritual tuition? Unless there is a sense that I've schooled myself in that.
Of skill.
Skill.
Absolutely.
Time management.
Yeah.
Having it go, you know, and that is part of the warfare. Yeah.
Am I cooperating with the word? Am I actually pursuing it and building my life to accommodate what God wants to do?
Yes, absolutely. Now, let's turn this. Prophets. I would say this. Why, Sam, have a lot of us never fought over our words? Because the words were not worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
Because the caliber of the word was so pathetically low, so lacking specificity.
Yes, specificity.
What's the word?
Specificity.
Specificity.
Specificity is better.
Specific. That the word was not specific enough. That it wasn't worth living for, therefore it wasn't worth fighting for. And most words don't happen, not because we didn't action them, but because they were not weighty, thorough, accurate enough to push me beyond where I was. In other words, the prophet was not prepared to take a risk of detail, specificness, and actual a sense of understanding the greatness of the call of God. So there was no ability for me to say what mountain needs to move here.
Yeah.
So we have very few mountain moving prophecies, both personally and I think in our nations. And you need a prophetic word, because without one, you are not challenged to move.
Mm-hmm.
So you need the prophet to bring a caliber of a word to move you. And it was in the, if we look at Romans 4, verse 20, it was in the promises of God that Abraham did not waver.
Yeah, come on.
He was fully persuaded by the weight of the promises of God that were given to him. So if it's of no value, you won't fight. If here's the deal. If a word is entertaining or only ego building, it will show others how great you are, but you will be abusing the gift of prophecy if that's all a prophet does. If it builds your ego or entertains, a prophetic word of the Lord must be of significant enough value that it raises an army of agreement in you and in others. And then you and your friends back you to move in the direction that God has spoken. And then you have the ability to say to the mountain, move. So the prophetic word must be so real that it becomes a thing that you can get fixated on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when Mark 11:24 says, whatever thing ask for in prayer, you need a thing to ask for in prayer.
Come on.
And most of us have never experienced, neither have our nations, the caliber of word that becomes a thing that I can get behind.
Or we have lots of little low-level things that aren't motivating enough, rather than a thing, a driving, specific, defined thing that moves your heart, that drives you into that sort of warfare, that makes you want to fight.
Yes. So, like, whenever you first saw Bella, and I'm not going to push you on this because it's personal, or whenever I first saw David about 27 years ago, you know, I'm looking at him and I'm going, he's a handsome man. And then I'm going, oh my goodness, he could be the one.
Yeah.
And then it shifts into a thing.
Yeah. I think he is the one. Yeah.
He is on. And then it's all consuming.
Yeah.
And then it's not like David is good to have around. It is, this must happen.
Absolutely.
And there is an absolute fixation at that point, you know. And so if it's only this word would be good to have, that is not good enough.
Oh,
if you have words that you're going, oh, that's good to have, that is not good enough. It must happen.
Wow.
You need words that you have to say to God, this must happen.
Absolutely. That you're fixated on, that drives you. And into the future.
And my comment to you is, listeners, number one, if you have been blessed enough to have words like that, you must not make a warfare over
them.
If you don't have words like that, and I now speak to the revelators, the prophetic gifts, the prophets who are listening, you must up the caliber of your words.
Come on.
That become a thing in people's lives that are worth waging warfare over. I want to know, because we're not told, what was the level of word that Timothy had that when you're pastoring the biggest church in the whole of, you know, the world at that point, and you're equal in stature to Paul, what are you fighting over? What is the word that you're, because this man was not in maintenance mode. He got the rest of the world to bring salvation.
Absolutely.
To. He's got atmospheres and nations to shift, you know, when you get to that stage. So I think we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard, both in how we deliver and how we action our prophetic words. Some things have not come to pass because you took them as good to know rather than it must happen.
Come on, I am fixated on it. So you've got to go and wage a war. You've got to wage a war on the principalities and powers that are resisting your word. Yeah. You've got to wage war against that in you that is not cooperating with the word. And then you actually need to do some things. You need to do some things with your life. You need to get trained. Yeah. You need to build some systems into your life. You need to write some stuff down, create some things that hold what God wants to do and what God is saying about your future.
And this sense of, let's take from the relational angle, a desire once awoken, it kind of shoots out every other focus. You lose every other focus until it becomes your reality. You speak the word, you fight for the word, you pray for the word, and everything else falls by the wayside. It is very much like, again, we read in Paul, where he's instructing this time the Corinthians church, and he's saying, eagerly desire prophecy, you know, spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. And he's saying, look, you've got to awaken something and shoot out of your life every other desire. Can I ask you, loyal listeners, what is the thing that you're fighting for? Yeah. What is the desire that has forced out every other desire? Because you know God has said it and he will be true to his word if you make a warfare over it.
You've got to say it. You've got to name it.
You've got to name it.
Yeah.
Wow. We bless you. We bless you to be higher caliber, specific prophets, brave. Oh, this takes bravery. Bravery in how you deliver words and bravery in how you receive words. Go get your words off the shelf and go make a warfare and find the one that you've measured as accurate and go to war so that you can become the fullness of what God wants. We bless you into this in Jesus' name. Amen. See you again, my friends, for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Thank you for listening to this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. If you would like to go deeper with us, you would be very welcome to join our network, the Global Prophetic Alliance. You can find that at propheticscots.com, where we have a comprehensive training program to lead you into deeper realms of the Spirit of God and encounter. If you feel a call and a pull to deliverance ministry, you can download my latest e-course, which is a comprehensive overview of getting people free from demonic oppression. You'll find that at demonbusting.com. Join us on these different platforms for more interaction with Emma Stark, Sam Robertson, and the GPA team.